Damian Square, welcome back to Tuscaloosa via the game. I hope you're doing well, sir.
I'm good, man. And you?
I'm great. Great. No doubt. When we can talk with guys like you and Chance Wormack coming up at 7 o'clock, I mean, give us a little bit of piece of Alabama history in a combined 30 minutes. It's always great.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be with you.
Now, Damian, can you give me a couple of questions that maybe I could ask Chance coming up at 7 o'clock? I mean, a little inside information into Chance Wormack?
You asked him who won most of the one-on-ones between me and him at Alabama.
Ask him what now?
Ask him who won most of the one-on-ones between me and him at Alabama.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to write that one down. I think that's a good one. No doubt, both very well-recognized players here at the University of Alabama. Damian, I want to walk you back, and you and I have spoke about this. You've done it here on the show because you're a friend of our program, and no doubt we appreciate that. You go back to the NFL draft. Your name didn't get called. Did you use that as motivation to go out and make the Philadelphia Eagles roster and to play in the NFL?
Oh, no doubt, man. I mean, I felt like I was a player, you know, that deserved to be drafted. I felt like I played at probably the most decorated program in college football in my time. You know, and I played some good football there. And, you know, I was a leader and a captain on that team. And I felt like I could bring that same thing to an NFL organization. But obviously, you know, during the draft, I didn't feel that way.
Looking at the Philadelphia Eagles and sort of breaking down, you know, what they're able to do, what was the biggest adjustment for you from the college game to the NFL?
Well, I kind of ran into the perfect situation. You know, I ended up going in free agency, which I told myself at the beginning of the draft that it could go that way, you know. So I had my feelings set up, you know, to go and attack, you know, from any position. So I go free agency to the – and I get to choose the Eagles. I look at their defense, you know, I checked it out, saw that it was a – organization that was trying to head in the right direction with, you know, a coaching change that happened, you know, prior to me getting there. And I knew that it was going to be a team that the best players were going to play. And if I had that opportunity, I was going to get on the field.
Looking at their classification of offense, what would you say that Chip Kelly, I mean, would you say that that's the no huddle hurry up style? I mean, is that a fair statement?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it's definitely a fast tempo offense. It has just as much pads as it does run, but it creates chaos, you know. And whenever football has been an organized game, you know, for so long, line up under the center, you know, make adjustments, try to get the perfect play on. When nobody has played it, you know, the way that he plays it with this tempo, you know, that kind of gets the defenses out of line, you know, kind of your defensive coordinator can't get the perfect call in. So your players kind of have to use their football IQ to make plays out on the field. So that's what it comes down to. If you have players with a better football IQ, when, you know, a tempo offense is put on the field, then you have a better chance of, you know, surviving the attack of that offense because it's going to have breaks. You're not going to shut it down. You just have to survive the attacks and not let the 80-yard bombs hit you and not let the, you know, 40-yard draws and things like that happen, you know, in chaotic situations, you know, affect you.
Damian Square, right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. He won 3 national titles at the University of Alabama and now playing in the NFL. Damian Square, right now inside the game. Let's go back to your play here because you also faced some teams with that hurry-up, no-huddle style. I want to focus on this because this is a major conversation piece right now, and I think you're probably aware of it, that there's some safety concerns. That players are more prone to get hurt because of the no-hurry-up style offense. Do you buy that as a defensive player?
I don't buy it at all. I mean, I think that I love playing against teams that run that type of offense because it's playground football. You know, it's the football that you do as a kid, line up and knock the guy, you know, hit the guy in front of you as hard as you can because that's all you can do when you're playing against the offense, take care of the guy in front of you because it's just the ball placement is all over the place. So you got to kind of stick to your keys whenever a guy, you know, brings that type of offense to the field. And so I love it. I love being out there playing against the hurry-up offense because this, you know, is as much hell as it is on the defense, it is that way on the offense too because those guys got to get on the ball. They got to get to the ball. They got to make plays. They got to run it just as much as me. You know, so long as we're doing the same thing, I like those odds any day.
All right, Damian. Now you're, you know, I'm not trying to take up for Nick Saban or anybody else, but you're not a guy that's Terrence Cody or Jesse Williams size. D- Do you see where it would be a disadvantage for guys that are that size playing on the defensive line?
Oh, no doubt. I think that's why the offense was implemented. You know, I think it's one of those offenses where you don't have to, I mean, it don't matter the 4-3 or the 3-4. Like I said, it's all on the discipline, you know, of your guys. I can remember playing Texas A&M, you know, those guys coming in the SEC the first year, coming down to Tuscaloosa. My high school head football coach is their running backs coach at the time, and he gave me a call the night before, and he said, I think we got a real good chance of beating y'all, you know, just because of, you know, the offensive attack. And I knew that it was going to be a game, because whenever you have that type of whenever you play that type of football on Saturdays, it can go anyway. Either your team can get blown out from running it because it don't work, or it works great and you beat somebody by 60. That's kind of the outcomes that come from running their offense. They win by 60, but they get blew out. You know, that's just the situation. Either it's working or it's not. The pro-style offense is more consistent. That's why people are probably stubborn and stay in it. But when you run the tempo offense, you know, effectively, it's pretty effective. I wasn't a fan of it until I joined the Eagles organization.
Damian Square right now inside the game, and wow, this is a really unique perspective because you've been on both sides of the fence. I mean, you see the way that it works now in the NFL. You had to play against it here in Tuscaloosa for Nick Saban. Damian, this is probably going to sound like an elementary question, but excuse me. I've never played the game of football to your level. Wasn't very good in high school. But let me go out on the field for a couple of minutes, because when I'm on the sidelines and I see Kirby Smart and Nick Saban and all these different hand motions that they're making on the side, what are they doing when I'm talking about after you guys have broke the huddle? Are those adjustments they're making? Can you help me understand that?
Well, without giving a game away, it signals the key things that we saw on film during the week. So, the coach spotted some on film, you know, he sees that, you know, happening on the field. It's a signal to the middle linebacker who was CJ Mosley, you know, during the time I was there, and Dante Hightower and those guys. So, it's kind of an alert to say, I see what you see, and let everybody else know, you know? So, it's just a situation like that, just some keys to, you know, get your defense a cheat on what's about to go down on the field or something like that, just to give your defense another edge. So everybody kind of does it, you know, and it feels good as a defense to see something that you saw on tape multiple times because it gives you confidence on the field.
And the players that are sort of making the call on the field, are they saying things to the defenders in a language that the offense doesn't understand? I don't really know, you know, what's it like to be on that field and sort of the communication.
You would like to think so, and hopefully, you know, you put something together where, you know, the offense is not easy for the offense to pick up. You know, so that's the type of terminology. You try to use terminology where it's, you know, easy to understand, but you know, tricky enough to where, you know, the offense don't understand all the blitzes coming from the right. So you try to use, you know, as sneaky terminology as you possibly can without confusing your own defense, because after all, you are communicating to a group of guys also. So it's terminology that's practiced over time from week to week, and, you know, it grows throughout the season, and you become pretty strong with the signals, you know, towards week 11, week 12.
Damian Square right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. I go back to Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, all the defensive guys that you had coach you here at Alabama. As you look back, do you think that you were – more prepared for the NFL because you played under a system like Nick Saban that is so heavily adjusted to the NFL or easily adjusted or similar to the style that they play on Sunday afternoon?
I mean, I would love to say that. You know, I do believe that I come from the best conference in college football, period. But, I mean, you get to the league and, you know, you got some guys from your conference, you know, that, you know, probably not, you know, NFL players. I think it's a system. I think the NFL is a different game from college football within itself. College is, you know, in its own way great, and the NFL is in its own way great, but it's not the same game. There's some guys that go to the next level and are really great players because the way the NFL features them. And then there's some guys that come to a university like Alabama with a whole bunch of players that are very, very good in a systematic program that Nick Saban runs, and they fall victim to the system because they cannot perform in that environment. So it's an environmental thing. You know, if you get a guy in a perfect situation, he is great as he could possibly be the best ever. And then you get them in another situation and it's just not that great. So I think it's just a systematic thing.
You won three national titles here at the University of Alabama. Which one was harder?
The one with LSU that year. That was probably the hardest season that I've been through.
But was it harder to create a hunger to try to go back and do it again once you've been to the pinnacle of college football?
It was, but for some reason that year I knew we were going to do it. And I knew it the year that we beat LSU, but, I mean, we lost to them 9-6 that year, which was probably one of the worst losses in my life. And then we come back the next year, and for some reason, man, I had this faith in those guys that I played with. They were real good followers, and we had some good leaders. We had me, Chance, Barry, guys that had been through it a lot. And I knew, you know, just by the way those guys followed, and sometimes you tell a guy something, and you see the way he gets it done, and you almost know, you know, he's the guy to take on a mission. And I feel like I had 11 guys out there at all time, you know, that was great followers, and we had great leaders. Whenever you had that, I think you're going to win a national championship more time than not.
Absolutely. Damian Square right now inside the game. You know, I go back and I've been told by other players that no doubt Damian Square was a big leader in that clubhouse or in that locker room on that practice field. And certainly those skills display every time we talk. How hard is it as a player to take that leadership responsibility? Because, you know, it's a different animal that sort of comes with that leadership skills, because Damian, let's just be honest, sometimes you have to be the bad guy and you got to snap a few whips, and I'm sure you probably had to do that in your playing days.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, because you got guys that, I mean, guys run in different ways, guys that get disrespected in different, you know, situations. You may say something to a group of guys and disrespect one guy, you know, so that's what happens when you deal with a group of people. You know, everybody is not going to agree, and you know, the older and older I get, the more I realize that, you know, the words that come out of my mouth are not, you know, automatic to the next person. You know, they may not feel that way. So, of course, you know, you had guys that disagreed, but some turned it around and some didn't. You know, we had guys fall victim in the program. Everybody saw that in the media. But then we had guys like DJ Petway that's back in the building, you know, who was a great player, who has turned it around, hopefully, and is going to be a great player at the University of Alabama. So, you know, those situations, I think they're all over the country.
Damian, what would you tell somebody about what it's really like to wear that crimson jersey, to follow in footsteps of, you know, players, you know, Cornelius Bennett, Derek Thomas, guys that, I mean, the legacy of no doubt your position, but just the history of Alabama football. What's it really like to wear that crimson jersey?
It's truly the pride of the South. You know, before I got there, I was coming to the university, you know, to play some football and reach my dreams, reach my goals. I wasn't trying to get attached to anything. And I knew about the history of Alabama, of course, because of, you know, how long they've been doing great things. But, you know, they had a stretch where, you know, it was kind of dry, you know, at the university. I come there and, you know, I get with a group of guys like Julio and Mark Ingram, and those guys come back and instill in us what it meant to wear that jersey. And when you see the pride of everybody in that town and everybody in that state and the emotion that they take, you know, for those football games, it just makes you prepare another way.
And you know, the big thing that we've talked about here in the last couple of days is crowd attendance. Damian, there's no doubt that you guys feed off the emotions of the crowd inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. Am I correct?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, I mean, those people showed up every weekend, you know, to support us. I felt like they knew that they had the best team in the country, and that made it a little better.
All right, Damian. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought you were finished with that thought.
Oh, no, I said it. I know that, you know, they made it easier for those people to show up to Bryant-Denny and watch us perform.
All right.
Because they knew we were very good.
Crazy in a good way. Not in a bad way. Okay, but Philadelphia fans are crazy. Okay? I mean in a good way, not in a bad way. Which ones are crazier, Alabama fans or Philadelphia Eagle fans?
It's the difference between the North and the South. a Yankee and a Southerner. So it's just like that. In the South, you know, we're crazy, but it's a love thing. I'm crazy because I love you too much. North, I'm crazy because you're not performing well on this play, you know. So it's a play-for-play thing. I think, you know, at Alabama, the few times when we did have our downs, you know, those people supported us in a major way. And every time we stepped in that stadium, it was going to be sold out regardless, you know. And up in Philly, you know, it's a little different, you know, but they love, you know, their Philadelphia Eagles football. They support us in a major way. But the feelings are a little different because it's a different environment. It's a different part of the country.
Damien, it's always a treat to talk with you. I appreciate what you mean to the University of Alabama family, continued success in the National Football League, and I'm sure you and I will talk on down the road. Thank you again for being a part of the game here in Tuscaloosa.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Roll Tide to you, Damien.
Roll Tide.